Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars and Evan Ryer. It is a 2-1 Jacksonville Jaguar football team we're talking about on this Victory Monday in Duval. It's just, you know, just kind of becoming a thing down here in Jacksonville, Florida. But as we know, wasn't exactly clinical in terms of execution or how it played out, certainly for the Jacksonville offense and its 17-10 win over the Houston Texans on Sunday at Everbank. But some of the things we talked about Friday here on the channel, the hopes we had for perhaps this Jaguar defense really kind of owning things where this struggling Houston offense is concerned, I'd say it played out kind of that way, at least on the defensive side. And you know what? The Jags' biggest opponent in Cincinnati a couple of Sundays ago was the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I felt the same way about this game against Houston. And this time, the Jags, I guess, overcame themselves more than anything else.
No, this this win, I feel like, goes to the defense for sure. I mean, really, you know, the Texans' offense has been pretty rough to start the season, so it might not end up looking like a major accomplishment but when, you know, things are done and dusted in January. But at the end of the day, they showed up when they had to. You know, when the Texans got the ball late in that game, I thought, here we go again. You know, just like last week where they would, you know, go soft and, you know, allow a touchdown that would, you know, end up breaking the Jags. Instead, they just time and time again were ready for it. You know, the way they rebounded after the interception into touchdown that tied the game up, that was great. I mean, after that happened, I was like, oh, no, here we go. The Texans are going to start clicking. And it just never happened. The pass rush was consistently there all four quarters. And similar to the Jags, the Texans couldn't really run the ball either. Not that they really were trying to all that much. They only, you know, handed it off 19 times. But yeah, it was solid. You know, it's not Super Bowl, you know, bound kind of performance, but it's definitely a win. So you take it.
Unapologetic when it comes to wins in the National Football League, right? Especially divisional wins. It's huge. Yeah. And again, this is a Jaguars team that had gone 8 years between home wins over the Houston Texans. So you take them any way you can get them. Absolutely, though. So many areas that this football team needs to improve with an emphasis on the offensive side. Penalties, again, were just a real problem. On Sunday, there were times where you really had to wonder if Trevor, even 5 years into his professional career, is capable of managing an offense like the one Liam Cohen wants him to be able to manage, from being able to decipher defensive looks pre-snap, make checks. I guess that may have been the best thing to come from. A couple of great things came from Brian Thomas's big catch over the middle there late. First of all, he caught it.
Yeah.
That was good to see because he had had drop issues throughout the game. Parker Washington even had a drop. Travis Etienne, they had multiple drops. So when I look at Trevor's performance, and it wasn't great. I mean, the interception of Jalen Petrie was rookie stuff. And it gives you reason for pause when you think about the big picture for this team. But when they needed to have it, Trevor apparently did everything that Liam Cohen wants him to be able to do at the quarterback position. And Brian Thomas made the play when they had to have it made. And I think it was interesting because you were wondering, were the Texans just going to let them score now, given the score, the situation of the game? They absolutely let Travis Etienne score. Yeah. And the Jaguars, not being familiar with being in that kind of situation, I think, just sort of were happy to take the touchdown, as they should be, given what this franchise has been through for the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, until you start performing on an elite level offensively, I think you just run that in there. I don't think
you, you don't go, well, you know what? I think we'll lay
Trevor
it down.
Will sneak it. Yeah, right. We'll just do it. Yeah, geez. That sounds – yeah. No, I mean, overall, I think Trevor had a very mixed bag. You know, the early – for the third straight week, I would say that Trevor looked really good on the opening drive when it's the script, when it's not him, you know, really contributing a whole lot to the play calling
there. Trying to manage and direct things. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking about that with my friends all game. I was like, well, you know, for the third straight week, this is what we're getting. But yeah, Cohen said that Trevor checked out of the run into that pass for BTJ. You know, that's awesome. That's great. I'm glad, you know, credit where credit's due when he makes the right decision and, you know, then deals a nice ball to hit BTJ in stride. And yeah, BTJ sorely needed that. I mean, that at the end of the day, he's really, until Travis Hunter really comes on, he's really the only guy that can do something like that on this team. So BTJ sorely needed that. You could see it when he, you know, finally got pushed out of bounds. He, you know, threw the ball. He was very stoked. You know, hopefully that's kind of a turning point after what's been a really rough 3 weeks for him, to be honest. But yeah, it's interesting because me and my friends were talking about it and, you know, they were saying like, you know, I get why you're mad at Trevor, but with all these drops, you know, do you think maybe he is, you know, not certain or not, you know, he's not feeling on stable ground. And I kind of wanted to pose that question to you because at the end of the day, we, you know, I think there's plenty of blame that can go on Trevor for the offensive issues when they propped up the season. But do you think that maybe, you know, he doesn't have trust in some of his guys right now, and that's playing a factor?
It could. I still think he struggles with accuracy at times and just where to go fundamentally with the football. But I don't think it was a coincidence in terms of trust that it was Parker Washington who had a team-high 11 targets in the game. We talked about this last Friday, too. Kind of our hopes for the offense was an elevation of Parker Washington in terms of prolificity and as far as how often they went his way. Well, that increased. Now, just 4 catches on 11 targets in the game for Parker Washington. We wanted more Brenton Strange. Brenton Strange had the second highest target number for Jaguar receivers in the game with 7, and he cashed in on 6 for 61. He was very good once again, Brenton Strange.
He's so good.
Brian Thomas with just 6 targets, 2 catches, one of those very late, very huge, and just 2 targets for Travis Hunter. Now, Travis Hunter, we talked about this after the Cincinnati game too. Given the situation at both spots, I was hopeful that we would see more Travis Hunter on defense. And that was the case on Sunday. I mean, he was pretty much a full-time corner against the Texans. And so you wonder how much that impacts him. And Parker Washington, his continued emergence is going to play into that too.
Yeah. You know, I think this is definitely, you know, a sign of things to come. Obviously, unless, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. does turn that corner, like I mentioned, then, you know, we'll probably get back to, you know, a high amount of targets there. But really with Parker Washington, he kind of feels like the receiver, not the tight end, but the receiver that Trevor Lawrence just trusts the most at the moment. And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, he kind of has the full skill set right now. I mean, he really looks good. You know, obviously that drop wasn't great, but overall, in terms of sure hands, he's been that guy. Really, I think I was also really encouraged by Travis Hunter's single catch. I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we know he can do. You know, if you get him in space, if he's got a guy to beat, he might just take it all the way. You know, yeah. I mean, it's I'll give credit to Jordan Lewis on Twitter, who said it's coming on a video of Travis Hunter's catch. Like, they clearly are still really, really up on him. And as they should be, it's been 3 weeks. But speaking of Jordan Lewis, dude continues to be a bona fide baller for the Jags defense, one of the key components of that defense. And that's what was most encouraging. You talk about Travis Hunter on the defensive side, talk about Jordan Lewis. Tyson Campbell had a really good game. Probably, I mean, I was really impressed with the secondary, probably the best secondary performance we've seen in Jacksonville in years.
Yeah, outside of the bust with Nico Collins for the touchdown,
that
got things really, really interesting there in the second half. I don't know if that was totally on Tyson or not. But Tyson, otherwise, 7 solo tackles, a pass defended. And that combination that you wanted to see against this Texans offense with Nico Collins and Christian Kirk jumping into the lineup, the former Jag for the Texans, you knew you were going to have to account for him in the game. Dalton Schultz at the tight end position hit you a couple times, as you sort of expected, Evan, in this one on Sunday. But, yeah, I thought defensive. Well, I thought Devin Lloyd played one of his very best games.
Yeah, he was really good.
As a Jacksonville Jaguar. I thought Jordan Lewis, obviously, was very, very good. And, you know, that pass rush that you felt like was going to get opportunities, especially against a rookie left tackle, they really went to town on that situation with Josh Hines-Allen. And you had the one sack where you had Hines-Allen and Armstead meeting at the quarterback. Armstead. That's something that you had envisioned going into last season being the case. And it sort of seemingly came to fruition on that one particular play, but consistently through the game, absolutely. I think you felt good about that pass rush. You had 6 quarterback hits, and Josh Hines-Allen had half of those. You got one from Trayvon Walker. You got one from Armstead on his sack. Davon Hamilton contributed one. It was a very, very good defensive effort. And what about when they needed it? Antonio Johnson, the pass rush affects C.J. Stroud. Gets a hand on the football, and there's Johnson, a guy that you wondered what his shelf life was like going into the season as a Jacksonville Jaguar. Now he's a big part of things in that dime package.
No, I was not very kind to Antonio Johnson for a lot of the offseason. You know, I definitely didn't necessarily – I at points questioned if he was going to be on that roster. But, no, that's a really great heads-up play on his part. You know, of course, Josh Hines-Allen gets his hand on it. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the – at the end of the day, the start of the interception. He deserves a lot of credit too, but the just quickly turn and make that dive and grab, that was awesome. That's the kind of thing that, you know, just didn't seem to happen for the Jags in, you know, the past year or so. You know, it might be – you might get the deflection from Josh Hines-Allen, but you don't, you know, follow up with the interception to, you know, seal the game. It was impressive. I also want to throw out, you know, Dennis Gardeck, man. Dude is making some stuff happen. Yep. When he's on the field, I mean, he's not the most critical guy right now, but you definitely like what you're seeing there with a PD and a tackle for a loss. Like, that's what – if you're not going to have bona fide stars at, you know, kind of every position or anything like that, you need all different phases of guys to step up. And right now, between Antonio Johnson, Dennis Gardeck, I'd say, you know, DeJuan Smoot had a really good game too. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are guys that aren't the critical pieces and they are contributing in a big way.
Yeah. You don't feel like through 3 games anyway, that there's an area of this defense where you're really exposed. Concerned. Now you did a little bit in Cincinnati, but you're working against T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase on it's the outside. They're going to do that to people. Throughout the season. Now, you know, as a Jags fan, you didn't like seeing that score from Minneapolis.
I know. That was
same Bengals.
When I saw the Vikings start good really Lord. Pouring it on, I was like, and we lost to this team last week. This is not good. It might be a power gap between the NFC and the AFC right now, for being honest. There might
just
be
a little bit.
Significant kind of gap in quality. But, hey, you win against the guys that are in front of you. And even though we know this Houston Texans team can play a lot better, we like to think that this Jags team can play better too. I mean,
offensively, they can definitely play better. Yeah. I was interested to see this run game. I thought the Jags were going to be able to run it.
And
that's a little bit problematic coming out of this game for me. I understand The Texans are formidable enough in that front seven. When you talk about guys like Rankins, but before you get to Hunter and Will Anderson, that was another awful play by Trevor taking the sack there on third
yeah,
down that Anderson wolf. Got him. That's just such fundamental quarterback play at this point, you would think. But the run game really didn't happen. Although in the second half, you saw a little bit of it from ETN. Got it going a little bit there in the second half. And look, both of your touchdowns in the game came on the ground. So when you had the opportunity to put the ball in the end zone from the red zone, you were able to do it with your backs.
Well, that's what's interesting is that, you know, the Jaguars didn't run the ball especially well, especially not early. So they kind of bailed out to passing, which I understand. I get that. But when they came back to it, it really started, you know, showing up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously fatigue, you know, kind of scheme, all that different stuff kind of plays a factor. But I wonder if, you know, they might have done better if they had just never gotten away from the run in the first place. Because for the second straight week, Trevor Lawrence has thrown 40 plus times. That's ideal
for opponents. That's what the Texans going into this game, and I told you, Trevor Lawrence is going to throw the football. He's going to throw it 40 times. That's not 40 dropbacks. It was 40 plus dropbacks.
The Texans,
right, would have taken that with their pass rush, right?
Yeah, I mean, if total dropbacks would have been 44 dropbacks. I mean, any NFL team that's looking at Trevor right now is thinking, yeah, we're probably doing pretty good if that's the situation. And really, overall, I mean, this wasn't a poor defensive performance, really, from the Texans. I mean, you know, some issues here and there or whatever. But, yeah, it's still kind of concerning that it feels like whether it's Trevor checking in the plays or if it's Liam getting away from kind of the original game plan or what, that they are still putting a lot on Trevor at the moment.
You don't want him in Santa Clara coming up.
Yeah.
Dropping back 44 times.
For sure.
Against the Niners. I wouldn't think. I don't think that's sustainable.
No.
For him or this offense moving forward. Also a little concerned too about De'Ami Brown because he got absolutely smoked by Al Shire out in the left flat. We didn't see him again. Apparently Liam addressed the media here just moments ago. And no update on De'Ami Brown. So that kind of goes back to Travis Hunter and, you know, what's sustainable in terms of his usage between wide receiver and corner. And whereas you hope, right, you hope, wow, maybe this is the play that turns the lights back on for Brian Thomas Jr. What's concerning is that even going into the game yesterday, the word that you got was this is what he's doing every day in practice. Yeah. He's not catching the football in practice. This isn't just a game thing for Brian Thomas Jr. So are you of the belief that, okay, he had his confidence boosting moment late and you can trust him moving forward? Or are you a little suspicious still at number seven?
I'm going to be suspicious for at least a little while. You know, if he breaks out next week, if he has a huge game against the 49ers, then I would probably be ready to turn around. But at this point, I mean, even with that big play, I mean, you look at the numbers this year and it's like seven receptions on 25 targets, 115 yards, no touchdowns, three drops in three games officially through PFR. I want to say there might be one or two in there that they're not counting as drops.
Right.
You know, so it does also another really wild thing with him right now is only 4.7 yards after the catch with all those receptions. And that was boosted by what? 50 yard. Like
the one he had late was,
that's basically all the yards after the catch had this season. Wow. Was in that play. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's weird. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been all different types of rumblings. Like, you know, I mentioned last episode that on Twitter, people have talked about the fact that apparently one of his close friends died a few weeks ago. You know, we hate to see that, you know, if that is the case, whatever. But simultaneously, it's like, okay, well, yeah, it does feel like something is psychologically wrong here.
Yeah.
Because he's got all the ability in the world. We know what he can do.
Yeah. I mean, when a guy's struggling like this, it is. It's almost like when a second baseman can't make the throw to first.
Right.
You know, that type of
you got the situation,
maybe.
Like that.
Yeah. It feels maybe a little bit like that, but it will be the 2-1 Jacksonville Jaguars that do head west to take on. Is it going to be Mac Jones? Mac Jones with that game-winning drive.
I know.
For the Niners yesterday. Eddie Pinheiro, the former Florida Gator.
I know. Pinheiro's with the game-winning
field goal yesterday.
Mac, looking good. Yeah,
Mac.
Now, I, you know, also I will say, too, awesome special teams again, even with Cam Little's missed field goal. I will say the Jets.
Yeah, Mac cost us some firehouse. That was disappointing because he's 27 of 29 now for his career. That was just his second miss.
Yeah.
We had Bogo firehouse on that 47 yarder.
We also got robbed the firehouse via the penalty that let the Jags drive down and kick that first field goal.
As
someone with Cam Little on his fantasy team,
you didn't
really wish
it.
I didn't get those points taken away.
Keep
from
the
me,
points, but, Liam. Never yeah. take points off the board.
I did send him a DM and say, hey, no, that's no good. But Logan Cook, great once again. Yep. Also, Jaguars kick and punt coverage right now is really good. Mm-hmm. That's something you're not seeing everywhere in the NFL. Obviously, if you watched Red Zone yesterday, you saw a billion blocked kicks.
Block field goals and punts.
Punt returns, also going for touchdowns, all different stuff. You know, it's easy to take it for granted when it's not happening to you, but let's all remember that this could be a lot worse in that sense.
You retained your special teams coach.
Yeah.
From the previous staff, and
it's working.
Looking like a good move for the Jags right now.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I see Robert's comment. Defense wins championships.
Defense wins championships, baby.
Last time the Jags had a really good defense, they went to the AFC title game. So
that's right. 2017.
I don't think this squad is that squad, but who knows? You know,
we weren't paying Bortles $50 million either. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Man, what a time. But yeah, what else do we got?
I was just going to ask you for any of your thoughts from elsewhere around the league. I mean, the Colts keep rolling.
Yeah, they're
Titans are
they're
bad. A problem. I mean, the Titans are.
Yeah,
Titans might be. Not quite Saints bad. Panthers won yesterday.
Panthers won 30-0.
Just rocked the Falcons in Charlotte.
I was also pretty high on the Falcons, so I was pretty taken aback. I didn't touch that game financially, but I was like pretty shocked by that. I ain't gonna lie. Also, transitive property, the Jags would beat the Falcons by like 45.
Yeah, of course. Just,
you know, that's how that would go. No, the Colts are a problem. It's really bad right now. Like, if you're anybody on their schedule at the moment, you're looking at Jonathan Taylor with the hat trick, and you're just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but I will say they got the Rams obviously blew their game against the Eagles, but Colts have Rams in L.A. next weekend. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's that'll be interesting. But also credit to the Titans for forcing the first punt of the Colts season. The Colts had not punted in the first 2 weeks. So got to give a little credit to
Daniel Jones is looking over at the 0-3 Giants right now. Like,
y'all, what up? What's
maybe,
good?
Maybe it wasn't me.
Yeah, I right now doesn't seem like it's him. Because
what about down the road a little bit? We kind of texted about this last night, the Chiefs, man.
They look not good.
not that the Jags can look 10 minutes past the Niners.
Right.
But when you think about that Monday nighter here in Jacksonville with the Chiefs, you got Kelce and Big Andy getting after it on the sideline last night. They did that, though. You know, maybe that's
well, not here's the deal. Here's the number one reason why the Jags are winning that game is because Andy Reid is going to have PTSD from Super Bowl. Yes.
Donovan McNabb. Terrell Owens, T.O.
The win that wasn't, so to speak. I right now, if I'm the Jags, like I am looking at that game with kind of a new perspective. I'm also looking at the 49ers game with a new perspective at the moment. I mean, even if they get Purdy back, like that
Purdy's not dynamic to the point of, oh well, they're gonna go from maybe 17 to 20 points to 35. I mean,
well, they also suffered.
Purdy's a solid guy on a good team. You know,
they suffered a handful more injuries last week or yesterday. So, I mean, even and also if Purdy's not going, Mac Jones is hurt too.
He still he re-aggravated that PCL, I think, is the report, right?
I mean, Christian McCaffrey doesn't look like the same player. I right now that defense is always going to be a problem. That defense is really great.
Didn't Bosa go out yesterday?
Bosa also got injured for a bit. Yeah. I think he did come back in, but I'm not quite sure. You know, D. Winters, Fred Warner, D'Amador Lenore. These are guys that
can Eric Armstead revenge game.
Eric Armstead revenge game, though. But those are guys that can be a serious problem for the Jags. But offensively right now, I mean, I don't see, other than just like sleepwalking into that game, I don't see anyone really on the 49ers offense that makes me kind of terrified.
A game the Jags, once again, going into the fourth quarter, should be in a position to win the game, I think. And we'll get more into it later in the week. But
I will say the Jaguars, historically speaking, are god awful on the West Coast.
Yeah, they are.
So I'm not really holding
They've tried like every way possible to go out there. Like,
and they just can't figure it out.
Like, Wednesday, leave on Friday. You know, it hasn't worked. You're right.
There was, I think there was a, there was until 2017. The Jags went from 2005 to 2017 without winning a game on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So
they hammered the Chargers out there, didn't they, a couple years ago?
Yeah. They've now,
that was kind of like random, though. It was like, what the hell was that?
It was not expected. But yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely a we'll see. But right now, I mean, even with, you know, the clear cut issues on the Jags, like, I don't, like, at least with some of the, you know, initially difficult matchups that we were looking at, you know, when the schedule first came out, it's kind of shifted. Like, we weren't worried about the Colts so much. Now we're pretty worried about the Colts. We were worried about the Chiefs and the 49ers. Now we're not as, you know.
Exactly. It's amazing how things can, perspectives and everything can change through 3 weeks. And I think it was 2022, the last time through three games, the Jags were a game above 500. I think that Chargers win out there was a part of that. Didn't go so well maybe as much after that for a while. But, we'll look forward to it later in the week right here on No Sleep Teal. Ev, anything else before we get out of here?
Nah, that's it. Just keep getting a Bayshall tooting the ball, though, because
you
I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, but, why not?
Also, he's already becoming, I already have people hit me up. Like, I've had a buddy text me and another one talk to me and say, is Tootin worth a deep fantasy option, a flex fantasy? I'm like, gets one guy, gets one set of ankles broken, and he might just go.
So. Guy's going to get in the end zone a lot at some point. I mean,
he touchdowns, three games. And first Jaguar in his first three games score a touchdown, you know, whatever. There was a stat about that. That's, I think it's first guy in Jaguars history to have a receiving and rushing touchdown in his first three games. So
pretty good.
Kind of specific, but kind of cool.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, Ev, we'll talk about the Jags and 49ers a little bit later in the week. How about that?
Sounds like a plan.
If you haven't already, subscribe to Ryer on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button right now. Hit that notifications bell. That way you're alerted to our content as it drops right here on the channel. And a thumbs up, a like would help out tremendously as well. For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Until next time, so long, everybody.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.